Last week, France passed a 3% so-called digital tax on major U.S.-based tech companies, including Google, Amazon, and Facebook. And while other countries have considered taxes like this, France will be the first to actually sign one into law. The Trump administration says it's investigating the move, claiming it specifically targets U.S.-based companies. Jacob Kierkegaard is senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, and I asked him what's behind the move.
There are several elements here. First of all, there is a long-standing issue of a sense of, I don't know if you can use the word unfairness, in a country like France, that you have very successful global digital companies that come in and obviously do a lot of business in France, cause disruption among existing French tax-paying businesses. And these global digital services companies don't pay, very little tax in France. So there is a sort of a question of them versus the traditional tax-paying French businesses. Then there is another set of concerns, which is that this is an issue that France and a couple of other members of the European Union have been trying to get an European Union or EU level response for quite some years. They failed in this earlier this year, and it was clearly therefore the decision of President Macron and the French government that, well, if that's the case, then we will just go ahead and go at our own. And then maybe if sometime in the future there is an EU or indeed a global solution found to corporate taxation of particularly large global multinational IT services and internet firms, then we can change.
A 3% tax on these companies, to be honest, feels like a drop in the bucket. I mean, we've seen some of these companies, Facebook included, almost shrugging when they've been fined by agents, American agencies here like the Federal Trade Commission. Is this symbolic?
Yeah, I think it is largely symbolic. It is essentially to say to other members of the EU and to the other members of the G20, which at their recent meeting in Japan said that, look, we're going to work towards a global reform of corporate taxation. So it's a signal saying that if that process doesn't work, we're going to go ahead and go at our own. But the levels involved are very small, but they are nonetheless important because for many, many years, corporate taxes for multinational companies have essentially been paid in the country in which the company is registered or headquartered. And then, of course, many companies then register or incorporate much of their, for instance, intellectual property right in low-tax jurisdictions in the Cayman Islands or Ireland or somewhere like that. But what the French law basically does is that it says, no, we're not going to tax this company based on where it books its profits. We're going to basically tax it where it conducts its business. So it's sort of an activity-based tax. And it's basically saying that we don't care if the services that, for instance, an Amazon or a Google offer are run from servers located in California or wherever else, or if it's run on intellectual property right registered in Ireland or somewhere else. The business, the transactions that are carried out by French consumers or people or businesses in France, that's what we want to tax. And that's a very fundamental change in the way corporate taxes are estimated. And that's really what the French government and others are trying to achieve also at the G20 level.
Tell us about the U.S. strategy here. I mean, the Trump administration's strategy when it comes to regulation and trade in general has been pretty aggressive. What's their response been and how does it fit into the broader Trump administration strategy?
Well, now they have launched a probe into this and basically with the potential to launch retaliatory tariffs. I mean, basically they're saying this tax, because it is structured in a way that it essentially only targets American companies, it is the equivalent of a trade tariff, and therefore we can potentially retaliate against it. But I think if you look at the broader Trump administration trade policy sort of set of actions or strategy vis-a-vis not just France, but also the European Union. This is just one more item on the list. President Trump's obsession with German cars and the German trade surplus with the United States is well known. He has recently accused the European Central Bank and the President Mario Draghi of basically debasing the euro or sort of manipulating the euro exchange rate vis-a-vis the dollar. There is the long-running feud over airline subsidies between Airbus and Boeing. So this is just one more issue that if, and I would say if, the president is reelected, I think you have set in motion a number of processes that could lead to a very large economic and trade clash between a potential reelected Donald Trump and the European Union, because I think at the same time, it seems that the president is not prepared to escalate his trade aggressiveness with other countries right now in the run-up to the election. I mean, that's certainly my interpretation of his actions, or ultimately the way he folded in the confrontation that he created with Mexico, and also his unwillingness to escalate further with China. But I think if he is reelected, that transatlantic trade tensions, including this tax issue, will be very much part of the economic agenda of the Trump administration.
You mentioned other countries in the EU are considering this, and I just mentioned the Trump administration's standoff with China in terms of tariffs. Is there the potential for other countries outside of the EU to look at this and really determine that they too want to put pressure on Facebook and Google?
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, and this is in some ways also what the French are trying to show, that actually you can do this. That if France can go at it alone, if there is no global agreement, the European Union has already said that come 2021 or so, that there's going to be a European proposal. This is going to be EU policy. And if the EU does it, well, I would certainly expect other countries to follow suit as well.
Jacob Kierkegaard is senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Jacob, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.